In one of his lectures, Isolines Devamrita Swami is speaking about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. He's explaining that in the spiritual world is actually full of feelings, full of emotions that are exchanged between Krishna and between the devotees of Krishna. Devamrita Swami explain that how can we develop a relationship with someone if we don't develop feelings, if we don't have emotions toward a person? It's just not possible to develop any relationship without emotions or feelings. So the lilas of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, are full of emotions. They are full of spiritual sense objects. And by hearing of them, one will awake those spiritual emotions inside of our hearts. And then it's become actually much more easy to relate, to develop our relationship with Krishna on the base of those emotions and feelings. Krishna book was a very, very dear book of Srila Prabhupada. Before in the beginning of the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada felt, I need to give the essence of Krishna consciousness, the essence of the 10th canto, the most important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I have to make it available as soon as possible. And not only for those who are very advanced in spiritual life, but for everyone. It should be a mass distribution in the street, even to people who don't know anything about Krishna book. So this is a very amazing gift that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. And this is one of the main riches of the Hare Krishna movement, or in a more global way, the Vaishnavism, that we can know what is God doing. We can know what are his activities, and we can see him in the eyes of the Shastras, according to the descriptions that are given. We can actually see Krishna. So, for this part of the seminar, we will hear about the deliverance of one demon. His name is Vatsasura. The moment when Krishna is liberating this demon is very small, but there are a lot of descriptions of how is Krishna behaving and how is Krishna experiencing life in Vrindavan Dham. So in the beginning we will hear more of those descriptions, and then we will come to the liberation of that Vatsasura. But first I would like to tell you the connection between Vatsasura and the Anartha that Vatsasura represents. And that's very interesting Anartha. Vatsasura represents childish mentality, or being too easily influenced by material association or bad association. From this bad association, greediness for sense gratification arises, and one becomes absorbed in materialism. So in his previous life, Vatsasura was already a demon. He was already an asura. And he had a big fight with the demigods. And he somehow became victorious of this fight with the demigods. And then he was very proudly walking around thinking, I am the boss, I am the master, I am the strongest. And he came to the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, a great sage. And Vasishtha Muni had a Kama Denu cow. That's a cow who gives unlimited quantities of milk. So it was very very nice for Vasishtha Muni to have such a cow in his ashram. The cow will give all the milk that was necessary for his puja, and everything was there. But when Pramila, this demon, saw the Kamadenu cow, her name was Nandini, he thought, I want to have this cow for me. So he transformed himself. He was a big, ugly demon. He transformed himself in a small, young Brahmana and went to Vasishtha Muni and said, oh, I'm just a Brahmana. You should give me some donation. Why don't you give me your Kamadenu cow? And at that time, Nandini, the Kamadenu cow, understood what was going on. And she went front of Pramila in his disguise. And she said, you are a demon. And because you try to cheat my master, I curse you. You become a calf. And suddenly, this big demon who was as Brahmana, suddenly, poof, he was in the form of a small calf. And then he ran away, and we will hear later how he's coming back to the picture. So this pastime took place when Krishna was still very young. Krishna was 3 years old. And at that time, Krishna gave up to stop drinking the breast milk of Mother Yasoda. And his body started to transform. He and also Balaram, they became very restless by nature. And their long eyes were trembling where they were playing. Now, Krishna was trying to dress himself alone. Yasoda would usually dress Krishna, but now Krishna would say, No, Ma, I can dress myself. I can dress myself alone. And he will try, but often he will notice he was not able to put the dhoti properly, and then he will start to cry and agree that Mother Yasoda will come and dress him. At that time also, Krishna started to accept to be controlled by the Brijvasis. Sometimes the gopis would ask Krishna, please now you dance. Please you dance and you sing. We will give you some sweet when you do that. And Krishna very happily would obey the demands of the gopis and would start to dance and sing for their pleasure. He will dance and sing like a wooden puppet in their loving hands. Sometimes the gopis would like to test the strength of Krishna. And they would ask Krishna, please bring Nanda Maharaj's shoes with you. Bring the shoes of Nanda Maharaj here. So Krishna will go and take the shoes and carry them on the head and bring the shoes of Nanda Maharaj. And then the gopi will challenge more and more his strength and will ask him to bring heavier and heavier objects. So Krishna will always try his best, and sometimes he had some heavy things that will be touching his belly and will try to bring it. Sometimes he will try to put it in the air, showing how strong he was and how strong he was. That was the time Krishna wanted to show, I'm the servant of my devotees. Whatever my devotees want, I want to fulfill it. Once Krishna was requested to carry the pillow of Nanda Maharaj, which is quite a big one, and Krishna was trying to take it, and one gopi saw it's a little too heavy for him, so she went to ask for can I help you, and Krishna slapped her hand and said, no, I can't do it alone. At that time, few demons had already appeared in Vrindavan. Trinavarta, Putana, Shakatasura had all, they all had come to attack baby Krishna, and now the two Yamal Arjuna tree had fallen on the ground, and Nanda Maharaj was really considering, maybe we should move somewhere else. Maybe Gokul Mahavan is too dangerous, maybe we should go somewhere else. So they spoke with all the men of Vrindavan and decided to move another place. They had heard that in Nandagram was a big demon also called Aristasura, so they say, okay, Nandagram is not the proper place, let's go to Vrindavan. Let's go to Vrindavan. It's Prabhupada gave a very nice purport in one of those verses at that place of the Bhagavatam. He said that the devotees are always try to worship in undisturbed place. The devotee always try to worship Krishna in a place which is without disturbance. But already at the time of Krishna, disturbance were regularly coming. In this way, in the same way, despite all disturbance we have in this material world, we should keep steadiness in serving Krishna. So all the Brijbasi prepared themselves for the journey to Vrindavan. They had big caravans, big chariots, and they will have all their belongings inside. And every family was sitting on one of those chariots. The cows started to walk in front. The brahmanas were following, singing mantras and songs. And then the men were walking next to the caravans, and the caravan started to go forward. So many caravans were there. And all the boys and women were sitting on those caravans. It looks like a river flowing, all those caravans moving. And Rohini and Yasoda were on one of the caravan and had Krishna and Balaram next to each other on the same caravan. They were just so closely friends that it was very difficult to separate Krishna and Balaram. They had to be on the same chariot. And Krishna was very excited. That was the first time they would move from one place to another. So Krishna was saying, Mama, where do we go? Where do we go? What's our destination? And Yasoda would say, we are going to Vrindavan. There are very, very beautiful playground. You will like this place so much. Now there was a little problem, is that all the friends of Krishna, they also wanted to be close to Krishna during the journey. They wanted to see how Krishna is doing. And because there were so many caravans, they could not all be next to Krishna. And Lokanath Goswami explained that Krishna again used his mystic power and expanded his own caravan in many caravans. And all cowboy friends could actually be next to Krishna's caravan and wave to Krishna and see how Krishna is doing. Now Gokul, the place where Krishna was living, is desert. When Balaram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Yamuna, they became so happy, so jubilant. It was such a beautiful place. It's a little bit like when we leave Köln and we go next to the ocean. That's really a good place. So for Krishna and Balaram to move to Vrindavan was really exciting and beautiful change. At that time also, Krishna started to develop desires to go out with the calves in the forest of Vrindavan. And this was very, very difficult for Mother Yasoda to accept. It's a little bit, the comparison is given of the first day the child needs to go to the school. It's not easy for the mother. for the child too. Often the child is crying the first day, needs to go to the school, and the mother is also crying. Oh. And so for your mother Yasoda, she was thinking, how can I let my boy go to the calves? It's too painful. She had never been separated from Krishna until now. For Nandaraj, it was easier because he had been going in the forest during the day, so for him it was not a big deal. But for Mother Yasoda, it was very, very painful. Yasoda told Nanda Maharaj, "How can you ask your son, who is still on his mother's breast, to accept such a painful engagement? How can you even think of Krishna going with the calves when he is still so young and so fragile?" So what happened? Krishna had so much desire to go with the calf that Nanda Maharaj told Yasoda, "He's coming with me. I will take nicely care of him and I will train him. I will show him how to take care of the calves." So Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, took Krishna and Balaram with him to the pasturing ground with the cows. And Krishna and Balaram were so happy. They were running all around. They were so jubilant. They would sometimes also play with the bulls. And so it is even said that they were small, but they were able to stop 5 animals at once. So they were actually already very vigorous and very excited to take care of the cows and cow. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram will sit in the lap of the cowmans and ask so many questions about everything. Why is this like this? Why is that like that? And in this way, Krishna and Balaram were introduced how to tend cows. But one day, Mother Yasoda said, "That's enough. Today you don't go out. Today you stay home. I don't want you to go out." It was just too much for her to be separated from Krishna. And Krishna and Balaram cried and said, "We want to go, we want to go." But Mother Yasoda was, "No way, today you stay in." So they stayed in, and when Mother Yasoda was resting, they just escaped. And they went out of the house. But they did not know where Nanda Maharaj had gone. So they were just going anywhere and everywhere in the forest. And when Mother Yasoda noticed that, she understood, better they go with Nanda Maharaj and they are safe. So she was again allowing them to do that. After some times, Krishna and Balaram were officially given the charge of the calves and they could go out with the calves. So for that day they did a little festival. First of all, the boys were very well fed, and then Nanda Maharaj took them to the barn and gave them few calves that they will need to take care of. Nanda Maharaj gave a red stick to Krishna for directing the calves, and then they went slowly in the direction of the forest. The whole village was looking at this. There were many parasols and chamaras and many decorations for that day. And as Krishna and Balaram and the boys were exiting the village, all the bridge passes were coming to their doors and were offering arati to Krishna and Balaram. That was the first time they were going to the forest. Yasoda was so much afraid, and she saw Krishna going barefoot. She said, "You cannot go barefoot, you need to have shoes. And I will ask a servant to carry an umbrella for you." But Krishna said, "No. If you want me to have shoes and have an umbrella, you need to arrange shoes for all the calves and umbrella for all the calves. Otherwise, I will not accept it for myself." So Mother Yasoda was defeated. She had to let him go like this. And Krishna wanted also to show how much he loved the cows and the calf. And he would not be willing to have anything more that they don't have. Actually, some said that was the day before they went, that Krishna said, "I don't want to go with shoes because the cows will not have shoes." And when the cows heard that, they felt so moved that Krishna is not wanting to have shoes because we don't have shoes, that during the night all the cows went out and with their hooves they just crushed all the stones and all the, so that the road will be very, very soft for the next day Krishna to go and walk on the path. Just before they would exit the village, Nanda Maharaj said, you remember all I have teach you how to do with the calf? So don't go too far and come back as soon as possible. Wow. The boys were showing up their expertise. They were making like very, very, they were showing up how good they were able to take care of the cows in front of their parents, and they exited the village. They were playing their flutes, they were singing, they were dancing. Such a big number of cowboys, such a tumult, such a jubilation of everyone entering the forest. They had flower garlands, and the flower garlands were dancing on their chest. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram will play with their flutes. Sometimes they will throw rope or stones on the trees to make the fruits of the tree fall down. And sometimes they will make very nice songs with their anchor bells, and they will play football with fruits. Sometimes they will take blankets and go four or five cowboys under the blanket and make like the form of a bull. And then another group of boys will do that under another blanket, and then they will make like a bull fight under the blankets. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram will just enjoy to sit and to watch the calves, to watch them eating the grass, drinking the water of the Yamuna. Once Krishna approached a calf and massaged the calf's face and limbs, and then he hugged the calf and he touched his forehead on the forehead of the calf, and then he said to the calf, "Do you want to go to your mother? I will soon take you to her." And I mean, when we see, for those of you who went to Vrindavan, when we see those white calves, they are just so cute, so beautiful. Just to see them, your heart is melting. And when you go and scrub them, it's just amazing experience. Coming from the West, you just feel like it's something almost we never experience, the type of affection one can have toward a calf. Sometimes the boys will imitate the sounds of the animals, and sometimes they will imitate the sounds of ferocious animals like a lion or a tiger, and then all the animals and birds of the forest will run away in fear of those imitation of the cowboys. Sometimes when they were like this in the forest, some gopis will come to bring them some picnic. And when Krishna will see the gopis bringing some prasad to them, he will take his flute and play a melody that was calling all the cowboys to come and join for the picnic. Then the gopis will make a row, and they will all sit in face of each other, and they will all take prasad. And they will make a lot of jokes. They will argue on so many topics, and they will be very, very funny. And when they had finished their lunch, suddenly a gopi noticed that she still had one preparation. They did not test it yet, but they were all finished with their meal. So she was so anxious that he will still accept this preparation. So she went to Krishna and said, "Please, please, take also a little bit of this. Mother Yasoda has ordered me to serve you that. So please fulfill my and her desire, and please accept it." I had sometimes this experience with my Guru Maharaj that I had to feed him, and he did not want to eat, he wanted to do some other things, and I had to go, please Guru Maharaj, I had to say, please just accept a symbolic something, please. I had a little bit this anxiety also, hopefully he will accept. So the gopi was like this, and Krishna accepted and distributed to all the other friends. Then they washed their hands, made achman, and received tambul, and then they were ready for some more play. One gopi told Krishna, it's soon time to go back to the village. Please don't delay. But Krishna just ran away laughing like, I don't care, I do what I want. So the gopi tilted her head a little bit like this. And I have to read it, it's a little poetic. That gopi tilted her neck, and with flashing eyes she looked at the friend of Krishna, and she said to them, calf-herd boys, you are the life of Mother Yasoda. Please bring Krishna back to his home very quickly. So the boys were taking grass from the ground, taking flour, and they will go to the calves and feed them directly with their hands full of tender grass and flowers. So now Vatsasura comes back. We are actually now in Kamsa's palace. And Kamsa had heard that the bridge passes, Krishna Balaram, had moved from Gokul to Vrindavan. And now it was becoming very clear to Kamsa that Krishna was the one who was supposed to kill him. He called his minister and he wanted a plan to kill Krishna, who will work now. He said to his minister, who Krishna liked the most? And the minister said, he liked very much calves. And Kamsa said, call here Vatsasura, who was in the form of the calf. Kamsa said, dear child Vatsasura, go immediately to Vrindavan and be extremely careful. Don't underestimate this boy. He already killed few of my demons. Now I have full faith in you. Go there and finish that boy. So Vatsasura was actually the first animal demon coming, and he just ran fast from Mathura to Vrindavan, following the river banks of the Yamuna. So it's very tricky, because calves are so cute, so beautiful, and now this demon was into these beautiful and cute calves. But when Vatsasura reached the other calves of Krishna, all the calves felt very irritated by this new calf that was actually Vatsasura, and they were running away, they were smelling, oh, this one is smelling strange. They understood something is wrong. And Krishna also noticed something was going wrong. So Krishna approached Balaram and he said, hey Balaram, did you notice this calf there at the riverbank? Balaram said, no. Krishna said, please, watch out a little bit this calf. Balaram looked and said, oh yeah, it seems to have a very ferocious nature. Krishna, oh, elder brother, this is a demon. Balaram, that's true. He is looking at everyone so cruelly. Krishna, can you give me your permission to kill him? Balaram, but what will say the people if you kill a calf? Krishna said, at the time of death, this calf will transform again into the demon and nobody will see it, that nobody will think bad that I have killed a calf. So Balaram smiled and said, "Oh brother, do it, but be very vigilant." So Krishna, who has the Srivatsa sign on his chest, started to call all the calves to him. "Coo, coo, coo, come, come, come." So all the calf came close to Krishna, and Krishna started to scratch their neck and scratch their body, their itching bodies. And Krishna was singing and was spreading joy in all directions. Vatsasura seeing that thought, "This is my opportunity. Let me also go close." So the demon came closer and closer, and when he came to Krishna, Krishna, with very affectionate nature, bent down and took his legs and took Vatsasura and whirled him around very, very fast, and then threw him on the top of a kapita tree. And as Krishna was whirling Vatsasura, the demon had to reassume his form and became again like the real Pramila, the real demon. But by the force, centrifugal force of the moving, the demon lost his life and landed, the body of the demon landed off a kapita tree. A kapita tree is a very special tree. It has some very sweet and sour fruits. And the boys liked very much those kapita tree, these kapita fruits. Like we heard before, they will take stones or ropes to throw to the tree to make the tree fall down. So Krishna, while turning him so far, was calculating, "Oh yeah, there is a kapita tree," and threw Vatsasura just on the kapita tree to do in one time two effects. One to liberate Vatsasura and the other to get some kapita fruits to fall down on the ground for his friends. The friend said, "Well done, Krishna, very good, very good." The demigods in the sky were looking at the scene and they were so happy. They shower flowers and they shower smiles to Krishna and Balaram. The boys were seeing those flowers falling and they were thinking, from where are those flowers coming from? Then the boys continued, after eating the kapita fruits, continued to wander here and there in the forest of Vrindavan. And they thought, "Let's not tell anyone about what happened today with this demon. Let's keep it secret. Better, better." So that's the lila of Krishna liberating Vatsasura. I would like to speak a little bit about the anatta. Or maybe before we go to the anatta, why don't we share a little bit what we have heard from the past time? So maybe one of the details we maybe liked to hear, or anything that was a little moving.
Demon transformed in a Brahmin boy and went to the sage Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni, where we puffed up because he was just defeating the demigods and fighting, and so he must have been very, very powerful, because usually the demigods are protected by Vishnu. But still the Surabhi cow of Vasishtha Muni cursed the demon to become a calf. So I thought, wow. how powerful the living entities must have been at that time, that they could, that the words come true.
That was the Kama de Nukao, and just gave the curse, and immediately the Pramila was into the form of a small calf.
So it's also for me interesting. So we hear over demon, and my heart is so feels very happy to hear that.
Cows have made of the stones just the dust because of Krishna. They don't even want Krishna has their feet, his feet.
Very nice. You want it?
I also like very much how Madhaya Yashoda, she forbid Krishna to go out with the calf because of her love and her separation for Krishna. She did not want him to leave. But when she was resting, Krishna and Balaram escaped. And when she found out about that, she was thinking, oh, now I don't know what my boys are doing, so better I let him go.
Actually, when she, Madhaya Yashoda, agreed that the boys will go to the forest, she said, okay, you can go, but I come with you. And I will come with you, and I will be with you with the cows. And Balaram said, we are actually playing. We are actually have a lot of fun. You are not not suitable for this. For this, you have to stay home. I like so much when Krishna embraced the calf and scratched the calf and put his head on the forehead of the calf and said, do you miss your mother? I will bring you to her. It's very interesting because it might sound like ordinary dealings of a village boys on material earth. Until we come to the moment when Krishna killed the demon, it seems everything is just could be a mundane story. But we can see because it's Krishna who is in the center, it has actually a very deep power of attracting our hearts. We can get in touch with Krishna's sweetness, and if it will not be Krishna, it will really not be as sweet. But when Krishna is in the center, it's very, very attractive.
And also,
okay, so let's go to the anatta. Who remembers what Vatsasuha represent? And?
Greed for self-gratification,
sense-gratification. Yeah. Bad tendency for bad association, and then greed for sense gratification is coming. So we are also like small children. We are small children in spiritual life. We have a small face, we have a small plant of bhakti slowly coming. And if one is not careful of avoiding bad association, this child inside of us, this spiritual child, might easily be washed away. It's not protected. We need protection, like a child. We need protection against elements that can actually easily destroy our bhakti. And sometimes it's not easy to discriminate about bad association, because like Vatsasuha is coming like a small cute calf. Who could detect, or who it's not easy to see. And also often in the association with people, there are some who might sometimes appear to be very kind and very spiritual, but sometimes that can really make a lot of distraction in our heart. And basically it is distraction of our faith. Therefore also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very, wanted us to be very, very careful in association with Mayavadis, for example. That can actually make a lot of damage in our heart. So we should be like a child in spiritual life. It is very, very good, but one needs to keep a very clear discrimination according to the association, to association with other persons.
And only Krishna was able to use Vatsasura. So is the lesson we should get also to pray to Krishna to give us the good association, because we are not so proficient to see for ourselves with who we can.
But we are like child, and it's difficult for us to discriminate properly about association, but the idea is to be careful, to be more aware, what do I get in different association, and to continue the association that gives us strength, and to avoid those who are not, those who will be detrimental. But it's quite similar. It's quite similar. I could not say one is wrong or one is false. It's also good to pray to Krishna to help us get this discrimination. It's also all right. Radhanath Swami explained a very interesting story about that. The story of a devotee who was for many years practicing Krishna consciousness, and after some time he started to do some type of self-help seminar, something like this. And then he was telling all the devotees, "You should do that. Everyone should do that. It's so great. I never chanted so good rounds. I never had such a good spiritual experience that now I'm following this seminar. Everyone should follow this seminar." And he was very, very enlivened by it. But after some years, he just left the association of devotees. And Radhanath Swami was saying he had a call with him some months ago. And Radhanath Swami was saying, he told me his latest deep realization. And his latest deep realization was that actually, if God exists or doesn't exist, it doesn't matter at all. If God exists or if God does not exist, it doesn't matter at all. That was his realization. And Radhanath Swami explained, very often those, not that I want to criticize, but it's just to give an example, the people who give those self-help course or like this, they are sometimes very good people, very smart, very clear in their mind. But if they have this strong faith that God do not exist and that we don't need God, by following and by having association with such a person, our heart is also influenced, and we might also, like this devotee, come to the point, actually, it doesn't matter if God exists or not. So it's a very, very nice example, because sometimes it can be very nice people also, and but if they are atheistic, or if they don't believe at all in God, then it's directly or indirectly is bringing this this danger for the child, the spiritual child, which is growing. There are some other points also in this childish mentality. Like children have a big greed to play. really, they want to play, they want to play. And if we take away that toy, they become very, very disturbed. And sometimes we are like children. We are playing in this material world with so many things. And when Krishna comes and removes some of our toys, we have a lot of difficulty to accept Krishna coming in our life and taking away some of our material attachment. This is also childish mentality.
So when you hear now, so all the people, everybody work.
Keine Arbeit. Wir spielen und wir playen. Not work.
Of work to play.
Work is the
so we can play later. Yeah.
Work is no consciousness.
Shivaram Maharaj explained foolish attachments, attachments that do not make sense. And he was, and he gave the example in the community in this farm. Is it in Hungary? There was one devotee who wanted to join, and he had long hairs and long beard. And after some time, Shivaram Maharaj approached him and said, "Why don't you shave your hair and beard?" And he said, "I'm very attached to that." And then Maharaj asked him, "But why are you attached to that?" And he just could not give any answer why he was attached to that. And so Shivaram Maharaj gave this example of saying, this is foolish attachment. We are attached to things, but we don't know actually why we are attached to attached to those things. Also, some very, very interesting point in connection to childish mentality. Sometimes children can be very cruel. And sometimes children might do on animals or insects, like rip them off or do things which are very cruel. And this is also a danger, this is also the anartha in our life, this tendency to be cruel to others. That we know what are their weak points and we just press on this or just show them their weak point or really have this cheap way of giving pain to others. And this, I think, is very, very deep, also a very, very deep point on this childish mentality. To be free of this childish mentality by being very careful to not give pain to anyone and not this cheap way of violence that one can do. And sometimes this violence can be given in such a strong way just by words. Sometimes they are even in devotees, sometimes can be giving a lot of violence to others just by speaking. So this is also childish. Actually, sometimes we hear we should be childlike, but not childish. We should be like a child, but not do stupid things that children will do. And yeah, finally, the last point I have is that children have also difficulty to concentrate and are often very restless. So this is also the anartha, this inability to concentrate and this mode of passion of us running all the time and be so restless. This is also. So it's quite a mysterious anatta. You can come from many different angles. I have taken the mainstream of this seminar is taken by Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, and I have some side points coming from different, like from Radhanath Swami or Shivaram Maharaj, on the same pastime. So I don't know if you have any questions or any comments on the anatta part. So I would suggest that we... Yeah, sure. Vritti and Nivritti. I'm not such a good scholar. I could research it and tell it to you. This I could definitely do, but like this. Sometimes. Sometimes we hear it's, if I, my memory is good, that vrittis are like waves, like vibration. And anatta nivritti could mean to be. Ni is often like the negation, that means the no waves of anatta coming anymore. Yeah, yeah. But this is just something I heard. I could research it and tell you more clearly. It's not, I'm not 100% sure of that. Yeah. So I would suggest that we sing a little bit. I have a song which speak about the lila of Vatsasura. So we will see, maybe you can switch on there. We will see on the screen there will be a picture on the left. And on the right side will be the Sanskrit text that we will sing. And under the Sanskrit is the translation. So I will be singing first, and then you are repeating after me. And while I sing, you can just read the translation. So when you sing, you actually know what you are singing. We will sing it quite slow, because it's Sanskrit and we are not so used to what is there. And the idea is to keep a little bit our mind more into the contact with the pastime, and also meditate on the anatta and pray also for the removal of the anatta as we are singing.